path of the righteous man is beset on all sides by the iniquities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men. Blessed is he who, in the name of charity and goodwill, shepherds the weak through the valley of darkness. For he is truly his brother's keeper and finder of lost children. And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brothers. And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee. Ladies and gentlemen, the Church of Laszlo has begun.
Yo!
Yo!
Oh, there we go. I can hear me now. It was my fault.
Oh, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. How was your weekend?
It was great.
Great. What'd you do?
I was busy.
Yeah?
I had sports this weekend.
Oh. What kind of sports?
Well, let's see. It was all Chacho, to be honest with you. He had two baseball games Saturday, and then two baseball games Sunday, and three football games Sunday.
Damn. Did you win any money on any of his games? You bet on his games?
I tried to.
I would think that there'd be other parents around that are, you know, let's make things interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like also there should be an app that, since sports betting is legal, there should be an app. If Dave and Buster's is going to use this app that they talked about, they should have one that you can use. Hey, this guy wants to bet me over this game, this little league game here.
And we should invent that app.
Right. I mean, unless there's some law that says it.
I can't imagine.
I would think someone would have already invented it. Like a peer-to-peer gambling thing. You're in a state where it's legal. We're betting over this sports thing. Now, of course,
my kids playing on this team. Your kids playing on this team.
Yeah. But it just seems like it should exist, and it seems like it should absolutely be legal. No one's carrying cash around anyway, you know. So you're going to Venmo the person. Well, just use the app. Just use the betting app. And then there's no arguing about, that's not what I said. No, I said. Then I said that Jones would hit a single. No,
right, you could bet on your kid how many hits they're going to get.
Yeah, the whole thing. You could even be the one who's in charge of creating the parlays for the weekend's games, you know. Who's in charge of gambling this weekend? It's Laszlo. You know?
Right.
Be fun. I bet you
make a good
lot
point.
Of people out there. You notice people on their phones in the stands a lot, cheering and crying, I suppose. But it just seems like something people would bet on. You actually, I know you really love your kids, and you really love watching them play sports. And
I do.
Watching
but
them
it makes
well.
It easy for me.
Right.
I like sports, so.
Yeah.
Well, it kind of works out.
There's plenty of people that like sports that I think maybe don't love watching their kids' little league games like you do. I think there's probably some. I think there's quite a few.
I guess maybe.
I mean, we don't even have to bring it back to me.
I just do like sports.
Right. But it is a little
different.
I like
watching sports, and then my kids play it, so it makes it easy.
But kids playing sports is quite a bit different in a lot of ways than, you know, watching professionals or even college athletes.
It is, but you're rooting, you know, your rooting's probably even more nervous.
That's true. You got your family out there on the field. Yeah, right. That's true.
You want them to win, so you're probably rooting even more.
So, well, anyway, how'd he do?
He did great.
Good.
Really good.
Proud dad?
Yeah, he hit like four. They didn't go out, but he hit at least, I think it was four off the wall, 300 feet.
Damn.
At one point, the other team intentionally walked him.
That's quite a
feeling. People were pissed, and I was like, not me.
No, that's got to be.
I'm like, that's the Barry Bonds treatment, baby.
Right, for you to get the intentional
walk. And then after the game, people were pissed, and they were like, don't, how you walk kids or whatever. People were upset, and I wasn't. But then after the game, the other team won, and after the game, their coach came over into our dugout and gave my kid one of the medals that they won.
Oh, really?
And was like, I wasn't going to let you hit a home run to beat us, man.
Wow.
And gave him a hug. I was like,
that's good sportsmanship.
Good. Yeah, right?
Yeah. And also getting walked as a kid. Right.
It's even cooler now because then now with the new rules, the other coach has to come out, so they don't just throw four balls anymore.
Oh, really?
The other coach has to come out, and he has to point at the kid that he's doing it, and then he goes.
Give
so now your
balls.
Kid's standing there, and then the coach comes out and points to the ump. Four.
Yeah.
And then the ump goes, he's walking you, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now it's not even like you're telling the other pitcher, like, just throw it in the dirt.
Right.
And then it could just be a mistake. He's actually, I mean, you could still do that, but now he's actually coming out like, hey, we're walking that kid on purpose.
Yeah. Nothing that cool ever happened to me when I was a kid.
Me neither.
I was never that
nobody
cool
ever
for
thought
a second.
We should, no, nobody ever thought they should walk me.
That's way cooler.
If I got up to bat, and I was a decent athlete, but if I got up to bat, they were probably like, we got a pretty good chance here.
Right.
Better than Scotty coming up after us or Steven.
Yeah.
You know,
they're excited. Yeah, no, I mean, it doesn't even have to be baseball.
Bottom of the order, boys.
Right.
We got a shot here, right?
Rotsy's back out there.
Right.
Right.
And then if I got a hit, they're like, well, you know what? If he beats you, he beats you. And, you know, baseball's a vicious
sport. No, I think they yell at the pitcher. And they're like, you're off the team, dude. I can't believe you let him get a hit. So you had sports all weekend.
I did.
That took up your time. And
then he went and played football right after and, you know, started pushing kids around, got in a couple fights. He was good.
Fights, huh?
Well, you know, kids, not really
talking?
Fights. Yeah. He likes to push people down and flag football.
Well, yeah. And then
and then they get up
talk
and talk.
A little smack.
Yeah, and then he's like, okay. Yeah.
I could see him being the kind of person who doesn't back down
easily.
And that if someone says something,
he's
they better know
a,
that he's not.
He's a little bit of a smartass, too. Like, you know, a kid catches a pass in front of him and you know, just kind of pushes him down. And then he goes to help him up. And the kid's like, okay, dude.
Yeah.
He's like, oh,
come on.
Just playing
come on, princess. Right. Yeah, I could see that about him.
Yeah.
But so then you had sports all weekend. Well, that's good that you stayed busy. I did absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
So the weather thing was wrong all weekend. It said it was supposed to rain on Saturday, be cloudy on Sunday. And instead, it was just cloudy all day Saturday. I kept waiting for it to rain. I didn't start any of my projects, and then it rained all day on Sunday, so I really did nothing. You had Bomb Pop, right?
I did, yeah.
Did you guys have fun?
Yeah, we had a great time.
What did you guys do, sit around listening to Drake and Kendrick battles?
No, I did teach him about what rap beef was, though, but we went to Emerald City Gym, his favorite.
Yep.
Is that a jumping place?
Yeah, it's like a big gymnastics place.
Those places were not
a jumping place.
Okay.
They have trampolines, they have slides, they have rope swings, and then just a ton of like mats. You know, like you can run around and like it's a possible.
And kids love this stuff.
Hurdle horse or whatever that crap is.
Yeah, man, it's his favorite thing in the world. We go there all the time.
It's crazy. I mean, I guess we had the tunnel town stuff, the tunnels.
Well, that was you and Big Russ, and that was different.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm just saying, we had a bunch of those. They were quite a few. There was like Discovery
more
Zone
than
and Tunnel Town. And
Yeah, more than just Big Russ? Yeah,
you're mixing up stories again.
I thought Big Russ was a trampoline place.
No, we would go to those tunnel places that were inside a strip mall, usually inside a strip mall. And it would, you know, there's tunnels that you crawled around in, and kids in their sweaty socks crawling around these tunnels.
Oh, yeah.
And occasionally there's a ball pit. But it feels like they've taken that idea and just made it.
Well, I don't think this
bigger.
Is any new idea. This is a place where I think if you're into gymnastics, that's where you go to train. They have lessons and coaches, and through the week they train people there. In the morning, they let kids just come around and run around on that stuff.
Right, but it seems popular that kids want to go there and run around and play on that
it's
stuff,
It's not
right?
usually that busy, is it?
No, not really.
Right, yeah.
Okay.
It's not like, I know in your head you're thinking
of
stuff.
I'm thinking of the trampoline places,
right, the trampoline places or like...
I mean, there can be a line for some things, but it goes
It's not like Sky Zone is what you're thinking.
Yeah, I guess I am.
It's
just thinking
like
of
that.
Those types of things.
It's different.
Again, though, we didn't have those things either. There were no indoor trampoline parks, I don't think, when I was a kid. I don't remember a place like that.
Those were new for me, too.
Yeah, actually, I think the first time I ever saw one was when Lazo's oldest...
My nephew went to Sky Zone, and I was like, wait, this is a place, an indoor trampoline park?
Yeah. No, we didn't have those.
Emerald City Gym is more gymnastics. They have trampolines, but like two or three of them.
We had the tunnel places, and then you had arcades. And then other than that, it was the old standards, you know, bowling alley, batting cages, occasionally a putt-putt golf course. There's something about a putt-putt golf course.
I don't have a lot of
putt-putt
here.
No, I think it's
weird. There's a new one now by the Ferris wheel.
Oh, yeah. There's something weird about doing putt-putt. At home, like in a non-tourist area. I always think of putt-putt as like a thing you do on vacation in a touristy area.
Oh, they had one like when I was growing up.
We did too, and it just always kind of depressed me a little bit.
No,
it was nice.
Was like,
and it had go-karts,
ours,
too.
That's what ours felt like. And it was like the Karate Kid.
Yeah.
People went there on Friday nights when they were young. Their parents dropped them off. There was an arcade. And
we just played at the arcade. That's all we did.
Yeah,
no one ever went and played putt-putt.
We called it putt-and slut.
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds about right.
Yeah,
I'm trying
to go pick up girls there. Putt and slut.
Yeah. I mean, they built it. We had one, and then they built another one that was bigger and nicer, but still, it was like all we used it for was the arcade. There was this, we did, though, for PE in school, go play miniature golf.
You think
was
so.
I think is weird.
Little things to do in the suburbs.
Right.
Of this town.
I'm always surprised that there's not
just
more
a big
ideas of this stuff.
Place with an arcade or whatever it is. You know, I don't know if kids. Want arcades anymore for the most part, but some place to go and do that.
Now they've got like the VR stuff there. I mean, they still have arcades in these new
and they
places,
have main
so.
Event and stuff, but it just seems like an outdoor place with
yeah
batting cages and putt-putt and
yeah.
You think kids would do that in the summertime. You can make some money, for sure.
There's a huge one in Lee's Summit. I don't know if it's still there, but it's like a newer one. Oh, it's got batting cages, pot, arcade, and they
go-karts. What's the name of that place?
Does it have go-karts? See, I don't... When I
it
used
does
to go
out
there,
back,
it didn't have
when
the
kids,
go-karts.
I took the kids there when they were little.
Can't remember if that's Putter's Paradise, or... Is Putter's Paradise the one in Independence? I'm talking to two guys from Kansas here that don't remember. Twitch will remember. There was one on 40 Highway. I think that's still there. I don't remember the name. And then there was one in Lee Summit. One was called Putter's Paradise, I think.
And one of those places has, like, cooking classes in it.
Well, that could be. The one in Lee Summit kept growing. Like, but the guy who owned it lived in my neighborhood for a while, and we would go there for school, like, during the school day. But
no, it's not Cool Crest.
Oh,
it's
Cool Crest is the one in Independence. Yeah, so I think it is Putter's Paradise then. But they changed the name, maybe. Change the name? I don't know. I'll look this up. But yeah, I always thought it was weird. Like, I can't believe there's not more of these things.
It's in Lee's Summit. It's like the first exit.
Off 291. And I know that it... Yeah, well, this says Putter's Paradise in a different place. Let me see if they changed the name of it, too. No one on Twitch has gotten this yet. No. They're still just talking about Cool Crest. And is Cool Crest still there? Leisure... I don't know. Oh, Paradise Park? Is that... No, that's the name of the park. I don't know. We'll figure it out. It used to be called Putter's Paradise, so I'm pretty damn sure of that. But my point is,
there might be paradise.
There wasn't a ton of stuff. There wasn't as much stuff for kids to do, for places for moms or dads or whatever to take their kids. A lot of times it was the play area at McDonald's.
It is Paradise Park.
Okay, Paradise Park is the name of it? Okay,
yeah,
so they used to be Putter's Paradise.
I used to take my kids there. And they have, like, you can go in there and cook and paint. I don't know.
I didn't know about the cooking and the painting, but we went there for PE in school.
It shut down, they said.
7 a.m. Really? Oh, no. Well, see, that's the thing that always surprises me. How are these places not huge when people have kids and they're looking for places to take their kids? You think that because there's a limited number of these places, they'd be huge. A place like that, you know, maybe is out of business according to Twitch. But yet the trampoline thing, I assume, doing well.
I have no idea.
I don't know. It seems like they added more and more of those.
Let's build a putt-putt course.
Well, when I was a kid, I wanted to take the Tunnel Town idea to other countries. Someone said, you know, we don't have these in other countries. You could take it over to Europe. And I was like, oh.
No, it shut down over COVID, they said.
Oh. Oh, my God. Oh, like it just didn't survive the... Okay, right. I get it. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm not a parent, so I don't know what you do with your kids, especially when you only have your kids half the time or on the weekends or whatever, and you're looking for stuff to do. Because when we have... Landon's coming to town this weekend, and it's always like, what do we do? What do we do? And he says... You don't have to plan anything. You know, I like just hanging out or whatever. But it's like you want to do something fun because he's not here that often.
Royals in town this weekend?
I think they were here this week, and so I'm afraid
there
they won't
be
here. I haven't checked yet. But you look for that stuff, and I feel like the first time he came to visit, we did most of it. You know, most of that stuff.
Main event.
For his age. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And we did like she took him to the zip line thing, and he's been to Worlds of Fun or Oceans of Fun. And so the only thing he hasn't done, I guess, has been to a baseball game. He's been to a football game with us. But then it's like after that, for a 13-year-old, I don't know what you do. What do they like to do? I think he just likes being in a different city. And he's like, oh, let's go to the mall or whatever. And it's like, well, we've done that. But if that's what he wants to do, that's what he wants to do. But having a kid, like actually having a kid and looking for stuff to do, I guess most of the time now they probably sit in the room and play video games.
Well, I have to tell you, because so his baseball team is, just speaking what you're saying, they're taking 3 weeks off, 3 weekends off. And his football team is done until tackle football starts. So he was like, can I guest play on somebody's team? Like, what am I going to do for 3 weekends? Right. Like, in his mind, he was like, this is what I do. I play sports on the weekends.
Yeah.
What in the world am I going
to
do?
Right. Well, you can take him to one of those indoor racing simulator places or, you know, those are cool.
I went to that. That was awesome.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah, we'll do that.
Do that. I'm thinking about, I guess that's where I'll take
the actually just
speaking to.
Called the coach and was like, hey, can you guest play?
Yeah.
I did, really.
You really did?
Yeah. They haven't gone back to me yet, but yeah.
So that's probably what he'll do?
Yeah.
Yeah, it could not be more different. If my team said we're canceling a game or we're taking 3 weeks off, I would have been celebrating. I mean, absolutely celebrating.
The Church of Laszlo.
Yo.
Yo. So... The roast of Tom Brady.
Yeah,
because
it was great.
Less than 24 hours old, so we can talk about that. I saw a couple people on Twitch said they didn't even realize it had happened already. It did happen. It happened last night, and it's up there.
I opened up Netflix, and it just said, it's live.
See, and I
And then I hit
it,
and then, and then I just started it from the beginning.
I don't remember.
So I was behind, but it was great.
I know that I was way behind, so I had to start. It might have actually finished when I started it. I don't know what time here it was when it was done. But it might have been done when I finished it. I thought it was good. I mean, from the opening segment with Belichick and Bledsoe and Brady to the very end, I thought that you know, there was a phase where we were getting like a roast a week. We were getting so they were roasting everybody, and they got really, really popular. And Jeff Ross was doing a ton of those, right. I think, on Comedy Central, right? And you know, some were better than others, but I would say even the good ones during that era weren't as solid as this one from.
No, I thought
this one. It's almost like, okay, put more time into it or whatever you did. I don't know. Maybe it's just because you had a better guy to roast. There's more material there,
right?
But there's so much stuff for them to make fun of that going into it. I mean, I know what a roast is. But then when it starts, I'm like, oh, yeah, they're going to make fun of his divorce.
Man.
Oh, yeah.
His divorce, his kids. Like
a guy on his team killing someone. They're
going
to talk about all of that stuff. Now,
and you signed up for it.
Yeah, exactly. I never understood signing up for it. I mean, I know, like, Chevy Chase famously did two of them, and the first one, I guess, he had fun. It was friends of his. The second one, it was people he didn't know, basically, so he said, and they were just telling him he's an asshole and not funny. And he was like, you know, apparently it hurt him. And I'm like, yeah, I think even the friends one would hurt me, because there's pressure on your friends or these roast masters to kind of, you know, one up the person before them and maybe take it somewhere that the other person hadn't taken it yet. I couldn't do it. I mean, I could do it. I don't think I'd have fun doing it. People just making fun of you for however many hours. Nah.
I thought it
they wanted us to do it at one point. Remember that? Now, that would have been bad. Us, like, trying to write jokes.
Right, but then they're like, oh, we'll have these other people come in. I'm like, no.
No.
They're not going to be as funny.
Talk about minor league. Right.
Now it's just uncomfortable.
Exactly.
Where like, there, at least you're like, man, that is funny.
Yeah, if you're going to do it, it's got to
be Kevin Hart saying, you know, 8 jiu-jitsu lessons a day.
That was so funny.
Bitch is still a white belt.
Making fun of his divorce.
Yeah.
He's been like, she's dating a jiu-jitsu trainer. Yeah. He's like, I mean, she was taking 8 jiu-jitsu classes a day, Tom. 8. 8. How did you not know? And she's still a white belt. I guess the big scandal, or the one big thing from this roast that I keep seeing everywhere, is this debate about Tom Brady getting mad at Jeff Ross for a joke. And was he actually mad at Jeff Ross for a joke, or was it scripted? Was he just busting his balls? But, you know, I don't know. But Robert Kraft was there.
Yeah.
And Robert Kraft was not off limits. I don't think that I had heard anything before this, really, about the massage stuff. I can't remember.
What do you mean?
Like, I don't think anyone had made a massage joke yet at this point. I think it was the first Robert Kraft massage joke of the night.
Oh,
and
yeah,
Brady
yeah.
stands up.
But he opened it, so.
Right, so.
After Kevin Hart, so.
So I don't know if this, I don't know if he was being serious or not. You could definitely hear Brady go up, he gets into his ear, and he tells him not to do that again, and it was this joke.
So Tom became a Patriot, moved up to New England, and on the first day of training camp, that scrawny rookie famously walked into the owner, Robert Kraft's office, and said, I'm the best decision your organization has ever made. Would you like a massage? I love Robert Kraft.
Don't
I
say
love
that again.
Okay.
So you hear Brady right. there.
He's having fun. Look at him.
Brady stands up, gets his ear, and says, don't say that S again.
Right.
Was it for real? It's hard to tell. I mean,
it's hard to tell because he didn't sound like super mad.
No, but he also didn't sound like he was super acting.
Right.
Didn't sound.
He didn't get mad at any of the other ones, and I thought there was more stuff that
was
pretty pointed.
Some dark stuff. Yeah.
Right.
But I also, we watched that documentary.
He does
Apple,
love Robert
so
Kraft.
We know he loved him. He's the guy that really gave him this, I guess, kind of validation that he was great, that he was looking for from Belichick, that he said he never really got
right.
from Belichick. So if you watch that docuseries, it makes it seem like him and Robert Kraft are... made it seem like a lot of the guys liked Robert Kraft.
Yeah.
But that he was kind of this fatherly figure to all these guys, or grandfather, whatever the case may be. And so it's possible that he could feel protective of him. I don't know. The other question is, how sensitive is Robert Kraft to a massage joke? I mean, he's there. He's got to have an idea of what roast, or someone would probably tell him, like, hey, there's a chance.
Yeah, I think if I went to a roast, and Robert Kraft even did part of the roast, if I went to it, it's like anything in my past is coming.
Exactly.
So that's why I don't think, when I watched, there was another massage joke later, and he didn't say anything. Somebody mentioned it again.
Okay.
And so I mean, of all the stuff, like, you know, of him and Alex Guerrero being lovers.
Yeah.
I mean, calling him gay and, I mean, of all the stuff they said, a snake oil salesman, the crypto stuff, like, yeah. I mean, they didn't hold back. I just can't imagine that that's the one that made him mad, unless he was just, unless he just feels bad for the old guy.
Exactly, unless he's super
unless
protective
of
him.
Right.
And, that's
and he's
it.
Like, hey, I said everything about me's on limits, but I don't know. But even the way Kevin Hart handled it afterwards, where well, he's like, oh, you see, Jeff, I heard you, Jeff Ross, saying, like, are you okay, Tom? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
He signed up for it. F him. F you, Tom.
That's what made me wonder, is it real? Is he trying to make it less awkward, or is this all scripted?
Because I feel like if Kevin Hart would have just let it go, if he thought it was going to go south.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, just ignore it.
Just ignore it if it's going to go south and keep going. And people don't know not to do the massage joke.
Yeah.
But the way he told Tom and both of them to shut up, quit being bitches.
Yeah,
I thought he handled it great.
I also just think that the, like you said,
Nikki Glaser was great.
She was great. I mean, if you're giving an award away for who was the funniest, it would be tough.
Remember, she told her boyfriend that she would shoot him in the face for a lottery ticket to Tom's.
Yeah.
I was dying laughing.
Yeah. I mean, she was really, 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 really good. It's so good that, like, when she was done, Kevin Hart, who was the host, comes back up to the podium. And I mean, he's still laughing, and he's kind of, he's doing the thing my dad used to do when he would watch a sitcom and repeat the jokes. Yes. That's what Kevin's doing about her set. It was just really, really super funny, I thought. I thought Will Ferrell's Anchorman, Ron Burgundy, was good. Peyton Manning.
I thought her
the whole...
doing the, how did you get caught up in the crypto thing? Even that idiot Gronk.
That was
knows,
her best joke, right?
This not real
this
money.
This not real money, right. And that's what
me
got
me know
got,
this not real money.
I think that's what got
that's
Kevin.
That's what
got
Kevin. He was dying laughing.
But yeah, I mean, she
and
was,
who was
she
the
was
lady,
funny.
The, and excuse me, the lesbian lady?
I'd never seen her before.
She was good.
I don't know
she
who
was
that
really
is,
good. When she
the,
said, after you have sex with me, it'd be the first time you look a black woman in the
yeah,
eye.
Yeah, that was a good line. And the thing about Bledsoe's ring not being real, it's
oh,
like
yeah.
a strap on. Yeah,
yeah she
thought,
said, just because I
funny.
Put a strap. I just thought it was funny when she was talking about Drew Bledsoe, and she said, you know, your ring is like my strap on. Just because we put them on doesn't make it real.
Exactly. I thought she was funny when
yeah,
she came up there. I was like,
great.
I don't know who this is.
And I thought Tom was great. He said, I didn't really know. I'm not going to make fun of you because you look like that guy who ripped my ACL off.
That was super funny.
I'm so honored to be here for the roast of Tom Brady on Netflix. It's not to be confused. Well, it's not to be confused with the roast of Bill Belichick on the 10-part Apple TV series.
Now, he's stumbled a little bit there, but that's a good joke.
Yeah,
Belichick,
is.
You know, saying that he already had his roast in the form of a 10-part docuseries on Apple, which is true.
Yeah. Oh, 5-time Super Bowl MVP, most career wins, most career touchdowns. You have 7 rings. Well, 8 now that Giselle gave hers back, but...
How did you not see this coming? 8 karate classes a day? 8 karate classes a day? 8 karate classes a day? And she's still a white belt.
Would you like a massage?
That'll be the moment there.
I love Robert Kraft. I love
again.
Okay.
Tom also lost $30 million in crypto. Tom, how did you fall for that? I mean, even Gronk was like, me know that not real money. Like,
that was the one.
Honestly, it's hard for me to watch people roast.
Oh, yeah. Why was Kim getting booed so heavily? Is that
I
a normal
know.
Thing?
Yeah,
did she get booed
Kevin
like the
was like, stop it. Stop
he was
it.
Trying to get
that
people to stop.
That was one where I thought he was stepping in. See,
he
I
was.
Didn't think he stepped in with the Kraft joke. So
no.
That's why it made me think nobody was really mad.
The Kim K thing
seems
like
he was
thing,
like, yo,
stop.
Slow down.
Just
let's quit booing her.
Stop
yeah.
booing. And I didn't know, is this a thing that does
people
everyone
hate
boo
her?
Kim Kardashian?
Most you, but I think enough of my family members have helped defend former football players.
Kim Kardashian, thank you so much for being here. I know Kim was terrified to be here tonight. Not because of this, but because her kids are home with their dad.
That might have been my favorite
yeah.
joke of the night. It's hard to pick just one. The Gronk one was really funny. But Tom Brady saying that it's hard for Kim to be here because she had to leave the kids home with dad
oh,
was
man.
Super funny. That was one of my favorites. But if you haven't seen it, even if you're not like a, you know, I don't know, into stand-up comedy or you don't watch all those
I thought
videos,
it was great.
Funny.
And I don't usually love stand-up comedy. You know that? Mm-hmm. I thought everybody was really good.
Aren't you always curious?
Because it is so uncomfortable. Not, you know, Kevin Hart said that. We're going to make the uncomfortable comfortable.
Yeah. And that's,
like,
the, that's
go.
The point of these roasts.
Let's
but
go.
I'm always curious for the non-comedians who's
when
writing their jokes.
Tom Brady said, Peyton Manning has a house in Denver and Louisiana, but he'll always live
yeah,
in my shadow.
That's a good one.
And then I saw, I
and
did
Peyton
see.
Peyton did a good job with this.
Yeah,
stuff.
He did.
Wholesome Peyton, of course.
Right. And then Will Ferrell making everybody say Tom Brady's Eli Manning's bitch.
Yeah, yeah. I thought that was funny.
Whoever it was who came up and said Tom Brady, loser of three Super Bowls.
That was good, too. Yeah, who was that?
I don't remember, but it was good.
Yeah, I'm always curious the people who aren't comedians who's writing their jokes. I wish there was a way to know, because a lot of them are really funny. I'm like, I wonder who wrote Belichick's. I wonder. And for Belichick also, was it just like after the Apple thing, I really thought after the Apple thing, this guy clearly is not capable of coming off in an affable way.
He did a great job.
He's just not capable. And was he thinking the same thing after that documentary? Was he like, this is just, it's made it worse? Because in the documentary,
he probably
sat in his chair funny and talked bad.
I think he probably thought, I'm not like, after watching the roast, watching the documentary, and watching Belichick after, of all these
games,
years, I think he probably thought, I'm not that guy.
Exactly. Right.
I didn't get a job because everybody thinks I'm that guy. I'm not that guy.
Yeah.
Like, I'm an all right human being.
Yeah. And I can talk. I can talk to a crowd of people.
Right. Watch me.
It was the first time.
And so I think when they were like, hey, do you want to do the roast to Tom Brady? I was thinking, this is my chance.
Of course.
That I can just,
That's what I thought, too.
Right.
Like, after, especially after the Apple thing, which he referenced.
Right.
So for him to open the whole thing and then to go up there and do a good job, I was like, wow. That's a first. We saw something we've never seen before, and that was Belichick being kind of affable and funny.
Sam J. I don't want to get her name wrong. I just don't watch too many comedians. I thought she was great.
Yeah, I didn't recognize her, I don't think.
They said Eli tweeted he didn't go because he didn't want to roast him a third time.
Okay, that's pretty good. Yeah, not bad. Yeah, so if you haven't seen it, we didn't spoil too much.
I thought,
there.
There's a lot in there.
Yeah, and I did pull a couple of clips maybe we can play later, but it was good. I thought it was a good roast, and probably the funniest thing I've seen... new thing at least, streaming in a long time. I've watched a lot of crappy comedies, a lot of specials.
Roasting Belichick was great.
It was really, really good. And I wasn't expecting, really want to see him. I was like, oh, God, here we go.
I thought Gronk making fun of everybody, then looking at Belichick and going, hello, Coach Belichick. How are you, sir?
Yeah.
I thought that was funny. He played into the being dumb stuff, too.
I kind of expected him to be good. Yeah, and he really played into it. I wonder if he knew that.
I mean, he stumbled through a lot of stuff because I think he is. I thought Belichick saying, I'm famous for telling everybody, do your job. Do your job. Just do your job. But for once, I'm begging you, Gronkowski, quit doing your job. Quit being
that was
on
super
TV.
Funny.
I was dying laugh.
The Church of Laszlo.
Yo! All right, we're going to doom scroll in a minute.
We are going to doom scroll. Plenty to talk about, my friend Laszlo's favorite subject, big NASA launch, huh?
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's how I felt about it. I'm like, who cares? You know what I'd rather talk about? Is this damage control from, what's her name, Kristi Noem, right? The South Dakota.
Oh, the lady who shot the dog?
The one who wrote in her book about shooting the dog. So this weekend, I guess she's out, because people think that she wants to be Trump's VP.
Right.
And she's out doing all these interviews this weekend, and of course the dog thing comes up. And it seems like she had a response ready for the dog questions. I am shocked at her response. And I have to assume, like I said, that someone around her told her, this is what you say anytime they ask about the dog, bring this up. But it's the worst. Like, she needs you, Laszlo. She needs your help, because things just keep getting worse. Like you said last week, people like dogs on the right and the left. They don't like the idea of shooting an 11-month-old dog because he thought it was a bad hunting dog or whatever she said.
Right.
It was unredeemable. Or
people don't
aggressive.
Like it.
They don't like that.
And
don't
by the way, I get people love their dogs.
Yeah.
And I know they're passionate about dogs. You don't hurt dogs, all that, right? They call them their fur babies. Whatever. People are weird about animals. I get it. I also thought people shot their dogs.
I think, not like me,
not in the suburbs.
Yeah.
And I don't mean like if you adopt a dog from,
let's go shoot it.
Like, I don't think you're like, oh, the dog keeps crapping in the house, so you shoot it.
No.
I don't think that happens. Like, I thought like, man,
yeah, like
I don't want to get. I don't want.
I
no, not even when they're old.
Oh, okay.
I'm saying, like, I thought people who like use them as
hunting
workers,
dogs? Mm-hmm.
Like in the country somewhere. I've never been to where in the country they do that, but I've seen it, some of it on TV, and they like ride horses and stuff. And they,
the dogs do
okay, but the dogs go out and like do like I don't know, like
pick
maybe they move hay and chase birds and whatever.
Okay.
And I think if they're like, that dog acts like Gronk, he doesn't do anything. He just eats the food here. I thought they killed him.
They might.
I thought that was just something we didn't talk about, and I thought, like, if you went to that part of the country, it was like, you kill your dog, they're like, oh, you liberal city dweller. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what we do. Dogs got to learn. Like, I just thought that happened.
Right.
I never thought, but I want to make sure I don't think it's good.
Yeah.
But I just thought, like, you know, I don't know, like, if
somebody,
like, if you're in Alaska and those dogs are supposed to take you across the country, and the one dog refuses to run, he doesn't just then get to move into the house and be the house dog. I didn't think that was the case.
Right. No, I assume that still happens, too.
I just think
you probably shouldn't write about it in your book, because there's this response.
But I'm not saying
that
was her response, but it was just like people were like, I can't believe you did this. I'm like, I think people do that.
Well, that was her response originally, right?
Right,
she said, you know, people don't understand. Out on a farm, out in the country, things are different. I love all animals, but we do things differently. That was her original response. I guess that wasn't plain. So now she's talking about killing other dogs that we should kill, which seems like a really weird response to all
of this. And I don't mean like people are saying, like, in the country. I'm not talking about Grandview.
Right.
I mean, like, somewhere in New Mexico or Idaho or something, there's someone on a ranch, very much smaller, but doing the same things that they do on Yellowstone, who killed a dog because it wouldn't do what it was supposed to do. And it was some of those cowboys who all lived in a penitentiary-style setting and ate soup every night.
Could be.
Like, that dog does not get food.
Could be. Well, it definitely happened in South Dakota. We know it happened in South Dakota.
That's what I thought happened.
I don't know how often it happens, but it's just one of those things that seems weird to put in the book. It's just weird that it made it past so many people, because it seems like an obvious thing that would cause this controversy, and it did. But her responses now are getting even weirder, and her latest response is to now talk about other dogs that need to be killed. And it's really bizarre, and I'll play it for you coming up.
The Church of Laszlo.
It's time to doom scroll with Slim Fast.
What you don't know could kill you.
Murder hornets.
Corpies infected monkeys.
This is Headlines on the Church of Laszlo.
Yo!
All right, we're doing the news. Now, look, I'm just going to get this out of the way because it is a big story, and it's not just a NASA story. I wouldn't bring that to you. I know you don't. Laszlo doesn't like space, doesn't care about NASA.
I don't care about
space.
Doesn't
care about that stuff at all. But this is sort of a Boeing story is what it is, because tonight NASA's going to launch this Boeing rocket, whatever the hell it is.
Okay.
And it's the first time Boeing's done this. So because NASA hired private companies years back, SpaceX and Boeing, to get them into space. We're going to give these private companies all this money. Now, SpaceX has been taking astronauts up there since 2020 now, I think, right? It's been like four years that they've been doing it. Mm-hmm. Boeing is way behind schedule. They were supposed to be doing this like 6 or 7 years ago. They're late. They've had a lot of problems. Now, Boeing has also had some other problems, you know, in terrestrial flight, right? Like, there's been some issues with the airline lately, and there's some lawsuits and, like, doors falling off and slides falling out and things like that. Mm-hmm. So I just ask you, if you're an astronaut, it's already scary.
My brain really checked out. You said terrestrial flight. I was like, oh, God, who cares?
They're airplanes.
Talking about regular.
Yeah, yeah, they're airplanes.
Well, I'm not
sorry.
That smart. I just heard terrestrial.
Oh, sorry.
I thought extraterrestrial.
I didn't know what to say. Like, other things that fly that don't fly in space.
I just automatically
commercial.
Was like, oh, spacey,
commercial flights.
Spacey,
there, that would have been better.
Spacey,
commercial
spacey,
flights. Thank you, Snowgone.
You're welcome.
Yeah, but my question is, if you're one of these people, and I know they already have to be very brave to sit on one of these things and get launched into space at, you know, 20,000 miles an hour or whatever it is. But if you're the astronaut who's on the Boeing one, I think I'm like, come on.
Oh,
can I
yeah.
get on, can I get on the SpaceX one?
You're at least
I'll take the Elon one.
The damage control and what was this? Something that was called in the Navy where you did maintenance. I forget what it was. You had these little cards that you had to do like on the engines and stuff, depending on what your rate was.
Yeah.
Somebody will know.
Well, it's,
what was it called? No, anyway, it's been a long time since I was in the Navy.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was like something you had to do every day, too. You had to get this new card for something else. Anyway, I would think the people who are in charge of that, like that's, you go out to the missile, and even though it hasn't been launched, you tighten down, make sure all the bullets are tight. That's your job for the day, and you sign your name, and you put it back in there. That way, you know, if the ship goes out in the water and one side of it falls off, they're like, hey.
You're the guy.
You're the guy
like
who's supposed to tighten
that bullet. Like the person who inspects a roller coaster before the park opens every day. Yeah.
So I would think with all their problems, you would think on this missile, they would triple check all that stuff.
You'd think so, but one of the last problems they had something to do with not enough tape, like space tape or something. I don't know. Seriously, because there was some issue, like they couldn't, the last time they tested, or one of the, you know, I guess not the last, but before when they tested, it went the wrong way, and they said something about needing more tape, and I was like, more tape? No, I'm not getting on this thing. So they had to successfully do a test without pilots to get there before they could take you know, do a manned mission.
Okay.
So they've done, I guess, that one. I'd be like, let's do a few before we start putting people on there. But they're doing it is tonight. And for you NASA geeks, I'm sure you'll be live streaming it this evening whenever it happens. I think like 5 hours
big day,
away.
Here at NASA. Listen, this was supposed to happen back in 2020, but Boeing has had years
I thought it was
of
like
problems.
7 years
it
late.
Is years behind SpaceX, its arch rival. It's had engineering missteps, as you said, and also some very close calls.
I did
a similar problem, of course, that we've seen play out with Boeing's commercial airline division.
Commercial.
But this morning, the countdown is on for this high-stakes mission with astronauts on board this brand-new Boeing spaceship.
Yeah, I think it's like the Starliner or something like that. But yeah, I was just thinking, I saw those pilots or astronauts, whatever they are, being doing their press conference, and I thought, do you guys do the SpaceX ones too, or did you get picked to be on the Boeing one, and are you upset about that at all?
Right.
Would you rather be on the... I don't want to do either. It sounds scary. I mean, obviously the 60s being the scariest, Lazo doesn't think that was real, but the stuff that was happening in the 60s, the fact that anyone volunteered to sit in one of those things.
They didn't.
And do it. I know, Lazlo says they didn't, and now I see there's
a movie set.
I saw a trailer for a movie coming out this year it's got Scarlett Johansson in it. Yeah, about them faking the moon landing.
Yeah.
Can't tell if it's like a rom-com
what
that is.
Yeah, it looked good, though.
Yeah, what's that called?
Gosh, I can't remember the name of it.
Yeah, if we don't make it to space, let's make a movie about it.
Yeah, they made a Kubrick joke, which was really good.
Yeah. Anyway, I saw a trailer for that this week, and I thought of Lazlo. Moving on from space, because Lazlo doesn't like it, what about shooting dogs? We talked about this a minute ago because Chris
You're trying to make it sound like I like the moon.
And it's on, it will be on Apple TV.
Oh, that's right. It's an Apple TV movie.
And it's Channing Tatum and Scarlett Johansson.
No, I know you don't like shooting dogs, but the story about the governor of South Dakota writing about shooting her dog and then trying to do all this damage control has been kind of entertaining. And this weekend, she's doing press and she, like meet the press, you know, making the rounds because she's like probably the top person on Trump's list, but I'm not friends with Trump, so I don't know who he's got on that short list to be VP. I've seen some of those articles, who's on a short list, and to be honest, I haven't even clicked on them. But I keep hearing her name come up, and this dog thing seemed to be an issue that she needs to overcome. So she goes and does interviews. But one of the ones she does this weekend, I think this is Meet the Press. They ask her about the dog thing, and her response is so bizarre. And just seems like totally the worst possible response. I mean, not the worst possible. The worst possible would be like, I like shooting dogs. I don't care if they're puppies or what. That would be the worst. I get it. But if this is a canned response that her team helped her come up with, it seems like it needs some work, I would say, at the very
least. Well, number one, Joe Biden's dog has attacked 24 Secret Service people. So how many people is enough people to be attacked and dangerously hurt before you make a decision on a dog?
You're saying he should be shot?
That's what the president...
Noam did not answer the question.
No, she just went on. She did later say something about putting the dog down. But I'm like, this is your response, is that he's got this dog that was living at the White House that bit Secret Service people, and now it's not allowed to live at the White House anymore? Why don't we? You're asking me about shooting my dog. Maybe Biden should have shot his dog.
Right, yeah.
That's the response. Like, who's on this team? They need Lazlo so bad. I don't think you would have advised her to do that. I don't think you would have said, just go out there and say, what about Biden's dog? Do people love whataboutism? Do a little what about Biden's dog and say, why? You know, that's the dog that needs to be killed. And
no.
I don't think that you'd say that.
I think I would have went with my original thing. What she tried to do.
What she tried to do in the beginning.
Why don't you people work?
Right.
You know what?
Just
you have no idea
that.
What a working dog is and what working families go through. And you know what?
Suckers.
When I tell you what happens, this is what happens in real America.
Exactly.
Okay?
Where do you think your hamburger comes from?
Right.
Where do you think
I'm really proud that you didn't kill your chihuahua. But this isn't a chihuahua. It's a working dog. And this is the way that America works.
Yeah.
I just remember that.
Yeah. And I also thought she could have tried
people have been but other people have been like, yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing. How many people on the right
Enough that would have been like, yeah, I don't do that, but that's what working
I think I would have
do.
Felt that way.
Right.
On the left, I would have been like, yeah, I don't do that, but I think they do that.
Right.
And I'm not going to raise my hand and go, because then I don't want to sound like a whiny liberal.
Exactly.
I'm wearing a pink t-shirt. The whole thing, like, just forget about it. I think that's what they do. And I do eat meat.
Right, yeah.
Right? So animals do die for me every day. So I get it. And she could have really doubled down on that. I thought she could have stuck with that. And also she could have said this dog was aggressive, which she sort of said, I think, in the book. But in these interviews, she could have been like, look, the dog was hurt, was aggressive. It was dangerous around people.
And
it wasn't doing its job. Right. So what were we going to do with it? You'll put it in a pound and it's locked up for the rest of its life? It's unadoptable. No. So we put it down. And in the country, that's how we put it down. And I would argue that it's just as humane as sticking a needle in a dog's arm
sure.
and giving it a heart attack. You know, whatever. That's what she should have done. Instead, she's like, what about Biden's dog?
Let's kill it.
Why don't you kill Biden's dog? I can't believe that this is her response. Maybe Trump told her to say it. Maybe she called Trump and he's like, Dad, don't worry about it. Just talk about Biden's dog. That dog's a terrible dog. Because he doesn't know anything about dogs, right? No, I can't imagine Trump having a pet. Like, I know the rich real estate guy or just sort of the rich. If you think of him as a villain, as he's portrayed often, then you might think of, like, the cat on the lap. But I cannot picture him with any pets. He just does not seem like a guy who would be petting animals. So. You know? Like, coming home and petting his dog or petting his cat. Or talking to his animals. I just can't see
that. He might
have
a cat in his house. One
he
that,
could,
one
but like
I do that
for?
We just don't really pay attention to each other that much.
And also, is it like, was it for his kid? Is it for his wife? Right. Does he ever pet the thing? Look, maybe he does. I'm just having a hard time envisioning it. If I had to put money down on whether or not the guy
has you're right.
Pets.
Steve Kleeman's right. He doesn't have it. I mean, his biggest insult is like a dog.
That's true.
He's stupid like a dog.
That's true. Like I would have moved on her like a bitch. That's true.
He does say like a dog a lot.
If he had a pet, my guess would be cat anyway. But I don't see it. We talked about this a little bit earlier, but I would say it's pretty big news, honestly, over the weekend. The roast of Tom Brady was live on Netflix. And if you didn't see it, you can watch it now. I would say it was probably the funniest roast that I've seen. If not ever, then at least in a long time. I think just about everybody that got up there was funny. I saw some people said Ben Affleck wasn't great. Maybe he wasn't. I love Ben Affleck. He had some good lines, though.
Yeah, but I didn't think he was great comparatively, but I thought he was good.
But exactly. I still
thought
that
he made me laugh.
Even the worst people made me laugh a couple times. Yeah. So I thought it was really funny. Peyton doing his clean comedy, making fun of Tom Brady. I thought all that was funny.
It is great to be here with a bunch of people sitting around talking smack about Tom Brady. Or as we call that in the Manning family, Thanksgiving. One thing that Tom and I definitely have in common, though, is our love of the game of golf. And listen, not to brag, we're both pretty good players. My handicap is a 6.4, while Tom's handicap is blowing leads in the Super Bowl to my brother Eli. The last time Tom Brady had to wait this long to get on stage, it was the 2000 NFL draft.
I thought, you know, there's a couple jokes about him being drafted late. Bledsoe made one, and then Peyton made one. I'm like, I mean, that's kind of part of his story, though. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if that's a thing to make fun of. Like, you know, something you'll never know what it's like, feel like to be drafted number one.
I think
it was
them saying, we're better than you.
Right, I know. But it was just like,
I know, I get it, but it's still.
But, I mean, there was nothing, it would seem, that was off limits. They made jokes about Aaron Hernandez. They made jokes about Tom's marriage all night long. So everyone was going
after
her.
About how Kevin Hart was the one who said that, you know, Tom Brady's wife gave him the ultimatum, us and your kids or football. And he was like, man, F those kids. Yeah. And immediately went 8 and 9.
8 and 9, which is a good one. But I think for me, the biggest thing.
My kids and my family are an 8 and 9 record. I'm taking 8 and 9. I thought it was great.
It was funny. For me, the biggest thing was seeing Belichick for the first time ever be funny and affable. And Tom introducing him, he was pretty brutal, right? I mean, he told some pretty good jokes about Bill, and then Bill came out and he did a good job, too.
And now, for the real reason y'all here, Coach Bill Belichick. I've been out of the game for a minute, so I'm curious. How many Super Bowl rings have you won since I left? Maybe it's not just the guy on the sideline. When I go to the Indy 500, I don't ask the winning driver, hey, who gassed up your car?
I thought that was pretty good. I mean, you know, like comparing the coach to the guy who puts gas in the car, it actually made me laugh the more I sat on it. I was like, that's a pretty good joke. But then I thought that Bill Belichick did a good job. I've seen headlines saying Bill Belichick kills
everything.
And I think, you know, we were just all excited to see him be a real boy.
Ron Burgundy, the only member of the media I respect. You know, the fellas invited me up here to lighten up the mood a little bit tonight. A lot of mean things being said about Tom tonight. I wonder why they invited me. Really, Tom, why are all these people so hard on you? Do you miss me? A lot of people connected me with a saying called, do your job, and telling people to do their job. And go on. Gronk, I've been watching you on Fox NFL Sunday, and I'm begging you, please, stop doing your job. But believe it or not, I've got a lot of nice things to say about Tom, but I'm running out of time here. I see your soccer team, Birmingham City, got knocked down to another tier in the English Football League, so they suck.
That's so unexpected.
Not so easy running a team, is it, Tom?
I thought that was really good. When he just said, they suck, I was laughing my ass off. Yeah, that's, I know. I mean, so that's so easy to run suck. A team, is it? They suck. So, holy crap, Bill Belichick is
a real
person. Yeah, so that was something. All right, we'll take a break.
And then him
back.
Doing shots with Brady.
Yeah. He looked like somebody you'd hang out with. Like, maybe not as much as Kraft after watching the Apple thing, but still, it was good.
And then I thought the last part was Brady bringing up the ring camera thing I told you guys
about.
Yeah,
which I totally missed. Like, I didn't – that went over my head until you talked about it earlier
today. He said something about the only ring he got after I left was a picture of him on a ring camera outside that girl's house.
I've totally forgotten about that.
Which is such a great picture.
You're the only one who
told me that. Bill Belichick in boxers and a T-shirt smoking a cigarette on a patio somewhere in the depths of – Southie Town. It was really funny.
I never looked up that image. I meant to, and I forgot because you're the only one who's told me about it.
I'll pull it up for you. It's funny
about it, but yeah, maybe Snowcone can put it on Twitch for us. All right, take a break. Come back, and we'll finish this thing.
The Church Job Laszlo.
It's time to doom scroll with Slim Fast.
What you don't know could kill you.
Murder hornets.
Corpies infected monkeys.
This is Headlines on the Church of Laszlo.
Yo! All right, what are we talking about?
We're finishing the news, getting it over with.
Well, good.
Trump used to be president. He's got a lot of court stuff going on.
He's
going to
be president.
I saw him at the F1 race this weekend. People were chanting, USA, USA. So I don't know if that's a good sign for him or not. Like, if you said, like, you know, you think the majority of these fans are, I don't know. I think a lot of people, too, we forget, they just, you know, they're not as, their hearts aren't quite as in it. As we just assume everyone's
Well, I don't think we're
going to
get
so
a lot of stuff. I think the court stuff will be covered. But I just don't think we're going to get a lot of... It's not going to be like a regular election year.
No.
You've had 4 years of Biden. You've had 4 years of Trump.
Yep.
What do you like better?
Yep.
And that's it. And most people have already voted for one or the other. So, and I say most people because there's people who don't vote, obviously. But they may vote this time. So, like... But there's not going to be like, if I became president, this is what I would do.
Right.
It's like, we know what you would do.
We already know. We know the differences. I know Biden did Stern. I listened to part of that. Seems like it'll just be kind of a mellow, you know, get to the finish line sort of thing. But Trump's got to deal with all this court stuff along the way. He'd already been held in contempt last week and got fined that $9,000. They threatened to hold him in contempt again and then threatened him with jail time. And now he's been held in contempt again. And the judge is saying, I don't think these fines are having much of an effect.
Look at that dog.
We might have to put him into, well, at least they're not shooting that dog. That's a cool-looking dog.
Man, it is a good-looking dog.
So
we're watching baseball behind us, if you...
The judge is like, I don't know that these fines are doing much, so maybe we need to put him in jail. So the headline...
Now that explains why they're dogs. It must be dog day at the park, and they showed a dog.
He's threatened with jail time again.
Before any testimony, the judge held Donald Trump in contempt, this time for violating the gag order with a statement he made about the jury, implying it's not fair. The judge fined Trump $1,000, but he said these fines don't appear to be working, and he threatened to throw Trump in jail.
Donald Trump returns to court in New York after he spent the weekend in Florida attacking prosecutors in his other criminal cases, mocking Fulton County District Attorney Fonnie Willis over a romance, and using expletives to describe Special Counsel Jack Smith. In New York, the jury will soon have a look at the ledger that characterized the payment as a legal expense, which prosecutors said was Trump's way of concealing it from voters.
Expletives? He used expletives. Can't do that. I guess you can. Trump proved that long time ago. I mean, Trump talked about his wiener at the Republican debate. So, you know, I don't know if that works. If that just means that all the rules are gone for presidential elections. I don't think it does. I just think it means that Trump always did play by his own rules, always will play by his own rules, and that he somehow gets to play by his own rules because people like him.
Sure.
And the people that like him don't care that he breaks rules. I think a lot of those same people would not necessarily like other candidates who broke the same rules as Trump, who talk about their wiener size on stage and things like that. Trump has a way of doing it, and we've already seen people try and be Trump. Everyone said after 2016, well, now there's going to be all these Republicans, people that act like Trump. No, they can't. They don't do it. I mean, they can't pull it off. And they can try and say exactly what he says or be just as, you know, shocking, I suppose. It doesn't work. People are like, who? Vivek? What? They don't care. They don't remember. And so now the news is him getting through this court stuff, whether or not they put him in jail, which I just don't see them doing that, but the judge keeps saying that they might. I don't know. And then, of course, figuring out who the VP is. I'm a little excited about the VP thing, but if it ends up being this dog-shooting gal, then I guess that's the end of that story. I already know about her. I was hoping for another one of those, like, Sarah Palin moments where they go, and my VP pick is, and we go, who the hell is this guy? You know? Like, right. He's wearing a smock. Like, we don't know where he came from. He was a mayor of a town in Alaska or something. But it's probably someone that we already know. So, there's your political news for the day. Some feel-good news. A kid in Louisiana sees a guy that he thinks is homeless. I mean, he's a little kid, you know. He's young. He's got a lot to learn. But he's obviously got a good heart. And he sees this guy that he mistook for being homeless. And he's like, I've got a dollar on me. I want to give this guy my dollar. It would be a nice thing to do. I haven't had a dollar to give to homeless people before. But now I have one, so I'm going to give it to this guy. So he goes up to the guy, and he gives it to him. Turns out the guy's not homeless. He's a 42-year-old owner of a sporting goods store called Buck Feather in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Okay.
And he says he never felt richer than in that moment when this kid handed him the dollar. So he said, you know what? You're such a good kid. You got such a good heart. I'm going to let you come do a shopping spree at my sporting goods store and come get whatever you want. Take whatever you want, and we'll time it. We're going to give you 40 seconds to run through that store and grab everything you can.
40 seconds?
40 seconds. That's like a supermarket sweep, right?
Yeah, 40 seconds.
You got to make a plan. You got to go. Well, he got some cool stuff. He got like a brand new bicycle. That's pretty cool. And he grabbed some other stuff. I'm sure they had like a plan going in, like you do a supermarket sweep. You know where the expensive stuff is. Go in and grab it. And, of course, it's good advertising for this guy because I'm talking about his
store,
sporting goods stores in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
I start to slowly open my eyes. And there's a kid coming at me about my height. And he goes and reveals
about
a dollar bill.
How tall is the guy?
I don't know, but the kid's pretty big.
You said he was a little kid.
Yeah, he's a pretty big kid.
I was a homeless person, and I finally had the opportunity. Give something away, you feel like you got a lot of things from it.
If you give, you're actually going to get more out of that. I couldn't grasp that as a kid. And if we can spread that around, everything changes.
Hey, I think it's nice that he did something for him.
I still can't believe they're the same size. I'd like to know how tall this guy is.
He said
it's like the little details that get me stuck, you know?
Yeah, he's, I don't know. I don't know how to describe him. He looks like a kid, kind of maybe husky. Do you still say, you probably don't say that anymore, huh?
Boy.
I know you wouldn't say it about a girl, like a little girl, but I know with boys, if you're allowed to say it anymore.
I think with,
they used to call it, they had a husky sized clothing.
Right, with girls, you call them plump.
I don't think you do. I don't think they have a plump size. They do?
They say, look at that little plump girl.
Really? That's what they say?
Yeah, that's what you're supposed to say.
So boys are husky and girls are plump?
Yeah.
Well, this kid's like 8 or 9 years old, so that's pretty little.
Look at that
me,
little chalupa. You say chalupa, too. That's fine.
I don't think you say that.
You do. If they're Hispanic.
No.
Yeah, you
no,
say,
no.
Look at the little chalupa over there.
No.
Yeah, it's cute. Look at that cute. You got to like say cute.
No.
Look at that cute little chalupa.
Say that. You don't say that.
No, you do.
You did.
I read it.
You read it?
Yeah, I read it on the internet.
I'd love to know where you read it. Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's how you refer to people.
Uh-huh. And what was
chunky
this?
For the boys.
People that were...
You say, look at that little...
Crazy things people said while sleepwalking that got them in trouble.
You say chunkster?
I wouldn't say chunkster.
If it's a real little kid, you say, look at that absolute unit.
Well, that's if they're strong, right? Well, no, that's if they're big, too. Yeah.
You say, look at that.
I don't know what...
An absolute unit.
What do you say about...
A unit.
Because I don't like all the fat shaming. We got all this stuff going on with Jelly Roll, and I'm always complaining about people being mean about weight and feeling like it's okay for late night talk show hosts to make fat jokes about specific people on
right,
TV.
Sure.
And then to have our clothing separated and to have stores that are just plus size stores. And it's like, why can't this stuff be in the same store instead of having to go into a different store? All these things. I mean, the fact that Jelly Roll is like, I give up on the internet.
Right,
this guy
no,
has been to
right.
jail a bunch of times. He looks a pretty tough guy to me. And he's like,
he's trying to do something nice.
He's trying to do nice things. He's like, I can't take it. I can't do it anymore. So I don't want to contribute to that.
No, I
like
agree.
Only get Husky. But when I was a kid,
well, there
they
was
had
Husky-sized
size clothing. Yeah. They didn't call, you know, and as an adult, they call it big and tall for men. I think for women, they call it plus size, right? But
I don't know if they still use plus size. Well, to be honest with you.
I don't either. Why can't they? I've never understood why the clothing can't all be in the same area. Hey, we've got this in a small, a medium, a large, all the way up to triple XL. Whatever it is, we make it in these sizes, and they're all available in the same store. You don't have to store to the plus size barn or whatever it's called to get your clothing.
Maybe stores would say, you know, we don't sell enough to order it.
But, okay, keep something around. I mean, we know the percentage of Americans who are supposedly overweight.
You're right.
So you'd think that this stuff would be in demand. I just put it in the same store. It makes me so angry. I think
they
it should
still
be
say
a law.
Plus size. They say
for women.
Mo girl says they still say plus size. Okay. I didn't know if you said plus size.
I didn't either. I
thought
know.
Maybe plus size model took a turn somewhere.
Yeah.
In the early 2020s.
Right. I really don't know. Somewhere a lot of things changed after me too. During me too. Before me too. I'm not sure. I'm not even sure I'm supposed to say me too. But anyhow, I just want to get it right, and I don't want to perpetuate these stereotypes and the wrong verbiage and those things. So when I was a kid, it was called Husky. Don't know what they call it now for the boys. Never knew what they called it for the girls. I just know even as a little boy, I would see commercials on TV for these plus size clothing stores for women.
Yeah, they should just be regular.
And even as a skinny little boy, I thought, this seems ridiculous. Why would you have to go to a special store? Lazo's favorite Korea is in the news because
North.
Kim Jong-un has
North?
Put... Yeah, best Korea. He put...
The best Korea. Of the Koreas, it's my favorite. You're right.
Yeah, people call it best Korea. So he put out a song that's like... Or I don't know if he put it out. They say he put it out. I assume he did. But it's like a propaganda song. I don't speak Korean, so I don't know what they're saying in the song. But guess what? It's a hit. You know why? TikTok. This song is now apparently a big hit on TikTok, and when people are trying to figure out where it came from, well, it turns out it's a best Korea propaganda song from Kim Jong-un. You want to hear a little clip of it here? It's unfortunate.
Bang. Sounds political.
Unfortunate Banger. For Drake and Kendrick because they were trying to get press, and it was all just smushed by this Kim Jong-un
Banger.
Song.
Anything with horns like that sounds political.
Well, it is political, I assume, because he released it a couple weeks ago, and now it's a big hit on TikTok. It's a propaganda tune, and Gen Zers apparently love it. They're bopping around to it. This says to the synthy electro pop song.
Man, people love North
most
Korea.
Most are clearly quite oblivious.
A kid had a big flag in North
lyrics.
Korea.
And people love K-pop. So
I have a North Korean flag at my house that my friend got me from the World Cup, like, you know, a decade ago, whenever that was, 15 years ago.
I also had a big flag with a picture of Kim Jong on it.
Yeah.
Hanging above his bed.
People send you all kinds of North Korean stuff, and you order all kinds of North Korean stuff, and the great leader sends you lots of stuff because he likes having a voice here. Do you remember that band? This is totally off the news.
The great leader?
Well, you remember that Japanese band that... hijacked an airplane. Remember that story?
Oh, yeah. I just listened to a thing about Alan Cross. Like, how we like. He was just talking about it.
Seriously? On the
I'm
crime
dead
thing?
Serious. He was doing the most... No,
okay, well, good.
Not
then
that
you'll
one,
know.
But he was talking about the most dangerous musicians.
Okay.
And it was this Japanese band, the bass player, like, hijacked an airline. Like, an airplane.
Okay, well, the thing that I remember, though, is that they went to North Korea and never got out, right?
They went to North Korea.
I was going to ask, are they still there?
Yeah,
you do you remember this, Lazo?
No.
They hijacked a plane back when it was a lot easier to do that sort of thing. And they said, take us to North Korea. And I think they like lied and took them to China or something.
Yes.
And
said they went to South Korea.
Okay, they took them to South Korea.
Like, you know, retrofitted the airport to look like North Korea.
What? Oh.
They
had that much time where they're like putting up North
Korean
flags?
Signs like, welcome to North Korea.
But wasn't there something like when they got on the ground, they're like, we know we're not North Korea and we want to be in North Korea.
They were walking through the airport and they heard American jazz music playing. And they knew it was a setup because North Korea wanted to play American jazz.
And somehow they got a deal to get into North Korea.
South
right?
Korea plays American jazz music?
I guess, yeah.
In their airport?
Yeah.
Well, everyone plays American jazz music
weird.
In their airport.
We don't even play American jazz music in our airport. Just weird to think that you're walking into a South Korea airport and that's what gives it away.
Yeah.
You're like, this
Wait
is goddamn
second.
American jazz music.
Is that Muzak? So they got into North Korea somehow, though, right? Because wasn't the story that they never got out?
Yeah, I think it was they were there and never heard
like
from
the,
again.
I think the guy was heard from. Look this up, because I think that guy was, like, asking to leave.
Oh, you know what? Yes. They were there, and then he was like trying to get back because he's like, I hate it here.
Okay, but how long ago was that?
I'll have to. I can find that podcast.
I cannot believe. I was going to ask Lazo. I thought there was a chance that Lazo would remember this. The fact that you just heard something about it, like one
or like this weekend.
No, but it was the fact that they hijacked an airplane and they went into North Korea. It was just a news story about
when
I saw it on a thing. Like, man, like the. Whenever you could hijack airplanes, I want to say like the late 70s, early 80s. I think it was a long time ago. That's just it. I can't remember.
Was a Japanese band popular?
And I can't remember. I don't know.
Why did they hijack it? Because they wanted to play
some of the music, and it doesn't sound like what you'd expect. It's not like Rage Against the Machine. It just sounded like...
Did they want to go to North Korea to like play music?
They were communists, right?
I think it was like just the bass player.
Was it like Airheads? Like they wanted their music to be...
I think they were communists. They were part of some communist group in Japan.
But they didn't want, like, did it have anything to do with the band, is what I'm saying? Was it like, people to learn about our music?
I don't know. No, I thought
it had something to do with... plane.
I thought it had something to do with them wanting to be... They wanted to go to Cuba. That's what it was. They wanted to go to Cuba, and they couldn't make it to Cuba.
Yes, because
they
didn't have enough fuel, yeah.
Okay, yes, they wanted to go to Cuba, they said in the show, and then the pilots were like, we can't make it to Cuba in this thing. So like, okay, well, our second choice, take us to North Korea. Mm. So it seemed like they wanted to go to a communist country. It's some show that talks about all of these hijackings that used to happen back in the 70s and 80s, because it was just a lot easier to hijack planes.
I remember being on TV when I was super little.
What, planes
getting
hijacked?
The 80s, I think, yeah.
Yeah, it would happen quite a bit.
Well, just, you know, this plane was hijacked and they want to go to France or something. Right. I remember, like, okay.
Yeah, whatever, and they'd just sneak guns onto these airplanes and then they'd hijack it. And, you know, I mean, what did D.B. Cooper do? He got him to change directions, right, or
I
something?
Guess, but I
don't
jumped
really
off
remember.
Of it. I don't know if he hijacked.
I just found the part of the podcast, so I'll listen to it and let you know what I hear.
Okay, tell me if they made it out of there, because I'm curious. Anyway, the song from Kim Jong has only been out a couple weeks, and they say that the lyrics are propagandist lyrics about him being a great leader. So, you know.
Well, he is a great leader. That's not propaganda.
They said, well, propaganda doesn't necessarily have to be negative. You can.
I don't think, but propaganda in and of itself, right, is like perpetuating something that. Perhaps isn't true, isn't
good.
That?
But you could also spread the word about something good, right?
Yeah, but I don't think that's propaganda.
Propaganda usually you think of as being negative.
Yeah.
But it's, and of course they call it propaganda because it's North Korea, but...
What if he's just telling the truth?
I'd like to know what the lyrics actually say.
I felt
like
propaganda was
like... Let's sing Kim Jong-un. Here's the lyrics. Let's sing Kim Jong-un, the great leader. Let's brag about Kim Jong-un, our friendly father. So there you go. There's some of the lyrics, okay?
Okay, got it.
Yeah, see... Propaganda is information of a misleading nature.
Oh, it is.
Used to promote or promote. Yeah, it's always misleading. That's what I thought.
Okay.
For a political cause or point of view. This isn't misleading.
This is not misleading.
No.
This is
just a song.
Spreading the word. Yeah.
Okay, so that guy did hear the American jazz music. He knew the jig was up, but he still got passage into North Korea. And the last time they heard from him.
Did he have guns on him?
I don't remember.
I think they did. Okay.
Last time they heard from him, he is still in North Korea and he's very sorry and regrets it. And he wants to come back to Japan, even if it means going back to
jail. Okay, what year did this happen?
You're listening to
you're listening to something on a podcast. Okay, yeah. Gotcha. I'll look that up later because I'm just curious if he's like still alive. Because what was that documentary, Lazo? Multiple people have asked me since we watched it 8 years ago, however long it's been. About the Americans that crawled into North Korea and then ended up living there and made movies and stuff.
There
one of them
one
finally
guy.
Escaped. Well, no, there was at least two. Remember, one of them finally left when he was old and then he died.
I just remember the guy who did the movies.
And then there's the guy.
Then,
they both did. They were
and
both
then
doing
went
movies.
And fished with the old guys and stuff.
He's
it looked
still
awesome. And then they brought him food every day.
He was still there.
He's like, you get tired of the food. It's good, but you get tired of it. It's a lot of the same stuff.
Yeah.
Rice and fish. But I'm like, yeah, rice and fish.
And there was
by
a guy
the way,
who was with him.
It's also good for you.
Right.
Right.
No, I know. You like wanted to live there after.
Kim Jong-un
was that documentary,
trying
though?
To get you healthy.
Do you remember what that documentary was or what it was on? I've had
I'll
people ask
check
me.
And, see.
And I cannot remember. Because I actually wanted to show
the
it
greatest
to Brooke.
Country on earth.
Yeah, I don't remember. But yeah,
there was something like that.
There was another guy with him that I think went across the border with him and they made movies together and he wanted out and eventually I think did get out right
before
he died.
Crossing the Line?
That's got to be it. That's
a British documentary by U.S. Army defector James Dresnik, currently living in North Korea after having defected during the 60s.
Yeah, that's him.
It's called Crossing the Line.
Crossing the Line. Where do we see that? Pull it up on Just Watch. And then find out if that guy ever made it out of North Korea.
I just told you.
Well, you told me the end of a podcast. I need to know what year it was. I need some details, my friend. Okay, well, you know what? I guess, sorry, I got a little distracted there with the
Wouldn't you
want to
live in North Korea if that was it?
Well, I mean, that
guy
made it seem
okay. That's what the guy said. It looked like his apartment was okay. It wasn't great, but it was nice enough. You could live there.
Oh, I could live in that apartment.
Right. It was nice. It was a nice one-bedroom apartment
yeah.
with a good view. He's like, what do you do in the morning? He's like, I go down here. I... They bring me my food.
You dust the pictures of the great leader because they will check once in a while. You got to make sure the pictures up is clean.
And then I go down and I fish with these old guys who hang out. And he's talking to them.
Yeah.
I fish and I go back up, get my lunch. Sometimes they make me ask me to come, you know, tell me, I guess, to come make a movie. And
yeah,
that's it.
The hard part for me would be I'm way too dumb to learn a second language, certainly Korean. So I feel like I'd have a hard time communicating with people because I'm guessing there's not a ton of English speaking going on there. Maybe there is, but I kind of doubt it. So, I mean, let's put it this way. If the hypothetical were it was a communist country where they're speaking English.
Poncho says, an update to your story. Judge Smith has made it official. Trump will go to jail if he doesn't follow the gag order.
Isn't that what they just said?
Well, I didn't hear that. It was like I heard a lot of threats.
I could be wrong.
But I didn't hear that.
If you don't follow the sign, you will go to
jail. Yeah.
Yeah. I know that he said the money doesn't seem to be doing anything. The fines aren't working.
I will send you to jail. But that all sounded like a lot of threats. If he made it official, like, hey, next time you tweet something, I'm sending you to jail. I hadn't heard that.
Okay.
I just heard, you know, if you violate the gag order, I could throw you in jail.
Which he's been saying. He's been saying. Exactly. So. Okay, we got to take a break because I got distracted there. I'll get to your favorite story ever.
This was official paper served.
You don't want that.
Official's paper served. You break the gag order, you're going to jail. Official papers.
Mm-mm-mm. No papers.
I don't know. Are they going to do a perp walk with him?
I told you not to answer the door. I'm not home.
I'm excited about that. The Church of Laszlo. All right, so.
So you got Drake.
Ladies and gentlemen, snow cone.
You got Drake. He's Canadian.
God.
You got Kendrick.
I should take
He's not Canadian. No, leave him on. Leave him on. We'll get through this quickly.
I'll be as quick as I can.
Drake.
I promise.
And Kendrick have been battling. For the last month
Drake
and a half.
Drake D. Kendrick.
Yep. And these guys have worked together in the past. I would love to know, Snowcone, where does the beef originate? Why don't they like one another?
So it looks like, Drake took Kendrick on tour. They had, verses on each other's albums. And then there's a song by Big Sean called Control, which is kind of like a legendary Kendrick verse. He goes and has this whole rap about, I hate all these rappers. I'm better than all of them. This is competition. We're going to do this. And he mentions Drake.
And Drake said in an interview later, I don't take offense to that because he's just trying to, do his thing.
Right, he's not going to take offense to it, but, he's not going to beat me at any front. So if and when that day comes, and that kind of starts,
But that was, the second or third time, I think, that Drake had apologized for Kendrick, or that someone had said, hey, Kendrick mentioned you, because that song was, I think, the thing that I was reading the second or third time, that Kendrick had said something about Drake, where they're like, does he have some sort of a problem with Drake?
Okay.
But Control was the big one.
Control's the
big
one.
And that Drake was still like, no, I think he's just, he's doing his thing, and he's a master or
but
whatever.
But he's not better than me.
Yeah, he's great, and that's that. But that's years ago.
That was 2010. So, but ever since then, they've been taking little small shots at each other on every single album.
So, it would be great if we had, little cuts in here. We'd be like, this is what he said on Control. And this is what he said here.
There's so many edits.
And there's so many.
I think
just
a little snippet of it would be nice. You see what I'm saying?
Okay, I'll put it right here. We usually homeboys with the same things I'm rhyming with. But this is hip hop, and I'm the shit, they know what time it is. And that goes for Jermaine Cole, Big Crit, Wale, Pusha T, Meek Mills, A$AP Rocky, Drake, Big Sean, J Electron, Tyler McMillan. I got love for you all, but I'm trying to murder you again.
Okay,
so that's him on Control. And then, so they've been back and forth. Always little subtle sneak disses, shots. Anytime you hear about them talking about a rapper they're better than, it's pretty much always implied Kendrick's talking about Drake. Drake's talking about Kendrick. It's been this cold war for the last, 13 years.
Cold war. I like that. And then March hits, and boom.
At that cold war, should have a drop of Gorbachev and Reagan.
Yeah.
So in October of last year, Drake puts out a song with J. Cole. And J. Cole says, love when they harness the MCs. Is it K-Dot, Aubrey, or me? We the big three. Kind of, saying him, Drake, and Kendrick are the best three rappers.
Okay.
So then Future and Metro Boomin, who are frequent Drake collaborators, put out a new album. And Kendrick's on it and says, F your big three. It's just big me.
And that was shots fired, Laszlo.
There
shots
was other
fired.
Things in that. But yeah, that's shots fired. Right?
Yep.
So then 2 weeks later.
J. Cole must have been pissed.
Yeah, J. Cole, I think, regretted it.
Oh, right? So J. Cole, a few days later, puts out a song called 7 Minute Drill, which is a whole Kendrick diss track. Mm. 2 days after he releases it, he's at a show at his festival in Dreamville and says,
where's Dreamville?
You have to believe that it's there.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's only there in your imagination.
But he says,
sounds like somewhere in South Carolina.
He said, it's the lamest thing I've ever done. I have nothing but love for Kendrick.
He, like, apologizes.
And he deletes that song. He takes it off streaming service. It says, I delete this. You know, I want nothing to do with it.
Shouldn't
this.
Have dissed him. I don't want this war.
Right.
Okay, so J. Cole says, I'm out.
Yeah, I'm out. It's like firing a nuke, and and Rush is like, what the? You're like, yeah, never mind.
So then Drake puts out a song called Push Ups, which is a Kendrick diss. Before Kendrick can respond, Drake puts out That was April 19th was Push Ups.
Oh, but I thought that, okay. So I've got my dates.
What
so
is he saying? Really push-ups. Only
a month.
You're short, and you're
There's been a lot of talk about his size. He says he's short. He says he wears a size 7 shoe. He says when you beat your wife, is it self-defense because she's bigger than you? A lot of stuff about his size, which made me very curious. How big is Kendrick Lamar? And I've done some research now, and I have a pretty good idea.
He's a little guy?
He's 5'5 or 5'6, and he wears a size 8.5, not a size 7.
Seems like not something you would get so mad about.
Sorry
to make fun of your size. I mean, I get it. As a short guy, I understand that you're coming at me. But also, can I have another shot? I don't know. We just saw 2 hours of it as people called Rob Gronkowski said he took bigger than Kevin Hart.
Whoa. And this
you
is
can
a,
say the S
this,
word.
This is a rap battle anyway, so where's your...
Oh, here you go. Sorry. It just seems like of all the things you could hit me for, my height.
But the height stuff...
My height wouldn't bother me, I guess, but...
I don't know if it bothers him, but it has been very funny to me. Just because he keeps doing it.
Okay, so five days later, no response from Kendrick yet. Drake puts out another one called Taylor Made Freestyle, where he accuses Kendrick of not putting out a diss song because Taylor Swift just dropped her album. He doesn't want to step on her toes. That's the gist of that song, right?
Okay.
And that's by that time now, a lot of people are starting to talk about this, right?
Yes.
Like that song, as soon as it comes out, you're like,
Drake's
he put out another one.
Kendrick has not put out anything out.
Yeah.
That was April 24th. Finally, on April 30th, Kendrick responds with a song called Euphoria, which is like 7 minutes long. It's three different beats, three different kind of...
Who did that?
That's Kendrick. So that's responding to Drake. A few days later, on the 3rd, Kendrick puts out
What are you saying that?
Slim,
so, he said.
Out.
He said. I think was that one the one where he talked about the Euphoria stuff. Does that start then? Is he talking about him being a pedophile yet?
Let me read what this article says. No, that's not the pedophile stuff. He doesn't do any of that yet.
Okay,
basically, you don't raise your son. You know, I'm.
He's got kids. That's what it was.
I got a son to raise.
You've got kids waiting for dad to come home.
Nope, not that.
That's
one.
A different song.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened? Now you guys are confusing me. So let me go back here. Drake makes Taylor Made, which is making fun of Kendrick because Kendrick didn't want to put out a song because Taylor Swift just put out her album.
Right.
And he said he didn't want to step on her toes that no one would listen to it because Taylor Swift just got a new record.
I think either or.
Right.
But basically that Taylor, told you can't release that. I see.
Taylor made the decision.
Yeah. And says he's
giving
a shout-out to her, saying she's the biggest
So now Drake has done, too. He's done push-ups saying you're super small and your push-ups are easy because your arms are short.
Yep.
So you have to count each of them as two. Right?
Correct.
And then no one responds to that because they're like, making fun of short people is so Kevin Hart. And then Drake says, fine, you don't want to do that? Then I'll put out another record, and that's called You're Taylor Swift's Bitch.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kendrick Lamar says, nope, I'm going to put out one called Euphoria, where I talk about a TV show on HBO.
Euphoria was his response about?
Drake is producer of the TV show Euphoria, but he doesn't say anything about the
He doesn't say anything about the TV show.
No, but it's a shot at Drake for being a producer of that show.
The show that hypersexualizes kids.
That's what I'm saying, right? So that's why he calls it that,
right?
Yes. Okay.
Yes. Okay.
So I didn't even know that, but it was obvious. Like, this is where we're going to go with this, right? We're going to go with that.
And then before Drake can respond, Kendrick pulls the Drake and puts out a second one.
So he doubles down now and says,
he doubles down
and
does 616 in L.A.
Which, that's a shot at Drake because all of his albums are
he has a timestamp series where some of his songs are 240
in New York. 240
in New York
and
445
in Kansas City.
So this is 616 in the morning or 616 at night?
Who knows?
Or 6 minutes and 16 seconds.
616, the date is Father's Day.
Oh.
So it's another diss about him not being a good dad.
Okay, so he's...
I didn't know that.
Jack Antonoff, who we know is Taylor's record producer, produced some of that song.
Oh, really?
For Kendrick Lamar.
For Kendrick Lamar.
I didn't know that was a Father's Day reference.
Yeah, 616.
I'm learning something here. Okay. But that is is it a shot at Drake? Drake did a bunch of stuff that was stamped like that. So that's why
Kendrick did it.
Time stamp
series.
Yeah. Wait, Kendrick Lamar put out Euphoria.
Yeah.
And then he put out 616 in LA.
He did two in a row like Drake had done.
That's right, and the 616 is you're a bad dad?
It's Father's Day reference, which he had said, like, basically, you don't know nothing about raising your kids because you're not around to do it.
He said, didn't he say, like, you have two kids that,
that's coming up.
You never see?
That's coming up.
Then Drake puts out Family Matters?
Yes.
So this is, so there was Friday, the 3rd, Kendrick puts out 616 LA. Okay. Later that day, Drake puts out Family Matters.
Mm-hmm.
An hour after Drake releases Family Matters, Kendrick puts another one out. So that's two within, like, 24 hours.
And well, that what does Family Matters say?
Family Matters is, like, it's a 7-minute song, 3-beat switches like Euphoria. And a lot, he's going after everyone else too, not just Kendrick. He's going after The Weeknd and Future and Metro and ASAP Rocky and Rick Ross because they're all jumping in on it now. And it's just kind of.
You all suck.
It's a lot of like you beat your wife. Your wife cheated on you. Your baby's not actually yours. It's Dave Freeze, who is your.
Wait. Wasn't this the one where he had the line about, like, you know, you're. He made fun of his wife for being light skinned, right? Was that
song? Yeah, he says, you know, you're so pro black, but you marry a mixed queen.
Yeah, and then said something about what was the follow up to that? Something about her being light skinned and maybe his kid being light skinned. Is that what it was? There was something.
Yeah, he says that.
I guess he says so. When you hit your wife, you're hitting this light skinned woman or something like that.
Yeah, is that in Family Matters?
I think so.
Yes.
Yeah,
and that's where he says Dave Free, who is the GM of Kendrick's company, is the father of your child. Okay, and so then an hour after
that, Were there allegations that Kendrick beat his wife? I've never heard it. Okay, I've never heard
anything. He says they hired a crisis management team to cover it up, so that's another accusation.
Laszlo's crisis management. Maybe Laszlo knows a thing or two.
Well, no, not...
He doesn't know anything about it.
I'm telling you, whoever his crisis management team is great, because the only person who ever talked about it apparently is this, because I've never heard about it.
Right, me neither.
So, like, hey, there's crisis. They squashed it. Whatever that was, they got rid of it.
Sounds like they did a good job.
If that's true, then they did a really good job.
So, yeah, Kendrick puts out Meet the Grams.
Which had to have been ready, right?
It was an hour after he put out Family Matters.
There's something in between there.
Yeah, he talked about Family
Drake
Matters.
Drake parody, Instagram only.
There's a 30-second Instagram clip that Drake put on there that it's not like a full song. It's like 30 seconds of a song that I guess is a diss. But I've only listened to it a few times.
Only a few times on that one.
Kendrick Lamar put out.
You're like, I've only listened to it a few times. I thought you might actually say, but I haven't actually listened to that one. You said, I've only listened to that one a few times.
But then Kendrick Lamar put out Meet the Grams.
Meet the Grams. And that's the one he put an hour after Family Matters. So Drake puts out Family Matters. It's going to be this big diss track, and Kendrick comes and kind of rains on the parade and puts out his own again. And that's a letter to his son, Drake's son Adonis, to his mom and dad. And that's where he says, dear baby girl, and he claims that Drake has another secret love child that's an 11-year-old girl.
Oh, okay. Well, that was that? So that was, what, Friday afternoon?
That would be like Friday night.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then that's the end of it?
I probably didn't hear it until Saturday.
So then on Saturday, Kendrick puts out another one called Not Like Us, and this is like a West Coast banger. Mustard did the beat for it, and it's talking about, that's where you get him the pedophile accusations.
Who called a pedophile?
They've been calling Drake a pedophile.
Kendrick's calling Drake like a pedophile. And that you have pedophiles on your team. And the cover art for that song is Drake's mansion from the top, and it's got the little sex offender dots all over it.
All over it. It looks like this. It's just got little
sex offender dots. Oh, I did see that. Yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah. Which, the thing about Drake being into underage girls, that rumor has been around a long time.
Right, sure.
So now we get to the most recent one, which was last night. Drake put out The Heart Part 6, which kind of sounds like this is his last song he's going to do. And it says, basically, I won the battle. And he's kind of defending all the accusations of, if I was a pedophile, I would have been caught. I'm too famous not to get caught. People kind of think it's
the weird thing about the song that he put out was he says the thing about, something about Millie Bobby Brown. I only F with Whitney's, not Millie Bobby Brown's, or something like that. And it's like, why would you bring up Millie Bobby Brown? Don't bring up Millie Bobby Brown. Drake. Don't bring that up. Because you've already got pictures of her with you. There had been this stuff about, were you texting Millie Bobby Brown? She had come out in the past and said, oh, he was just being nice to me.
And his whole thing was like, I would have been caught. You know, like, I'm too famous. I would have been caught. And he talks about a song Kendrick had that's called Mother I Sober, which he says, this is the one where you claim to be molested, but he didn't. He had the whole message wrong. He mixed up metaphors.
It's just weird that you wouldn't bring it. Don't bring up
Millie Bobby Brown. Drake?
Yeah.
The last song he put out
last night. Yeah,
and it's not any good. Or
it's just weird.
I thought it was good, but the internet just seems to agree that it's like it's over. That song in and of itself was embarrassing enough for Drake that Kendrick doesn't need to respond anymore. And that Drake kind of buried himself.
He brings up Millie Bobby Brown on his own, and then he says, "Like I would never look at a teenager." when he put this song out all weekend, this video, or multiple videos,
kissing a 17-year-old
on stage. And making out with her, basically, right? And
she's 17 years old. I'm 17.
It's not like he didn't know. She says it. Now, has the video been manipulated? I doubt it. I mean, she says she's 17.
And there's been a lot of allegations.
So when that video is already making the rounds and we've already had these allegations, I would not talk about Millie Bobby Brown, and I would not say I never looked twice at no teenager. When we know you have, because there's video of it. Yeah, and not to mention just like the underage celebrities that you've approached and asked for their phone numbers, which has made headlines in the past.
So that's the most recent thing. And like I said, internet consensus from what I've seen on Twitter and Reddit is that Kendrick won.
Who has and that Drake more lost. Views on these on YouTube
that I
and
don't
streams?
Know.
I was waiting for someone to do some sort of account.
Probably Drake, but I don't know.
That's kind of what I was guessing too.
But they're accusing each other
too.
Of hiring view or paying for views and paying for bots. And so
well, you did that pretty fast. I don't know if it's as fast as this lady did on the news. Because
welcome back to ABC News Live. First, it's the rap beef that keeps going back to back. Drake and Kendrick Lamar are trending after taking aim at one another over the weekend in five different songs, one of them dropping overnight. Your fans
are rejoicing. She's got a clip.
See how that would have been done well. The jokes and the
medication. I had to put that in there, actually.
No, you didn't. Yes, I did.
Drake's latest record, The Heart Part 6, already has 8 million plays on YouTube and is a direct response to Kendrick's Not Like Us song.
Okay, so there you go. But that only gives you the most recent.
Yeah, those are the two most recent songs. I gave you everything.
I know you did. You did good. So now anybody who has a friend who's bringing up the Drake Kendrick battle, or it comes up at dinner. If you got, I mean, for me, it was a 13-year-old who kept talking about it
so
this weekend.
You should be caught up now.
You should know, and you should have picked a side by now. Whose side are you on? Who do you think won? Whose songs would you see yourself listening to in the future longer?
I think Drake's has a lot of replay value. Someone said a really good point is that Kendrick made Drake step up his rap game because he's rapping great, and Drake made Kendrick step up his release game because he takes so long to releases, and this weekend he put out like five new songs. So
yeah.
I think just
everyone
hip-hop
wins
fans
in
are winning, you know,
everyone
in general.
Wins. Best battle since Machine Gun Kelly and Eminem, I would say.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know when there was the last great battle.
Pusha T and Drake, probably.
Okay, yeah, Drake.
That's one song
Drake
each,
is
though.
So famous. But,
that
Pusha
T big, song
but that
was like
big.
Probably the biggest diss track ever.
But this is just
it made him take responsibility for his son.
The number of songs, though, going back and forth
because
like
of
this.
That song.
Yeah. The number of songs going back and forth here, though, and getting millions of views within hours, I don't remember anything like this really before.
Nope. But now you're all caught up, and that is it for the show. We're out of time.
Oh, we're out of time. Drake to play us out or Kendrick to play us out?
Mm, you pick. No, I have no idea.
Okay, I'll pick.
Psst. I see dead people.
Hey, Mustard on the beat. Beep, oh, beep.
So you got Drake.
Ladies and gentlemen, Snowcone.
You got Drake. He's Canadian.
God.
You got Kendrick.
I should take
he's not Canadian. No, leave him on. Leave him on. We'll get through this quickly.
I'll be as quick as I can.
Drake.
I promise.
And Kendrick have been battling.
Drake, Kendrick?
Yeah, for the last month
Drake
and a half.
Drake v. Kendrick?
Yep. And these guys have worked together in the past. I would love to know, Snowcone, where does the beef originate? Why don't they like one another?
So it looks like, Drake took Kendrick on tour. They had, you know, verses on each other's albums. And then there's a song by Big Sean called Control, which is kind of like a legendary Kendrick verse. He goes in and has this whole rap about, I hate all these rappers. I'm better than all of them. This is competition. We're going to do this. And he mentions Drake.
And Drake said in an interview later, like, I don't take offense to that because he's just trying to, you know, do his thing.
Right, he's not going to take offense to it, but, you know, he's not going to beat me at any front. So if and when that day comes, and that kind of starts, like.
But that was, like, the second or third time, I think, that Drake had apologized for Kendrick, or that someone had said, hey, Kendrick mentioned you, because that song was, I think, the thing that I was reading, the second or third time that Kendrick had said something about Drake, where they're like, does he have some sort of a problem with Drake?
Okay.
But Control was the big one.
Control's
and
the big
so
one.
And that Drake was still like, no, I think he's just, you know, he's doing his thing and he's a master or
but
whatever.
But he's not better than me.
Yeah, he's great. And that's that. But that's years ago.
That was like 2010. But ever since then, they've been taking little small shots at each other on every single album.
So, you know, it would be great if we had like little cuts in here. We'd be like, this is what he said on Control. And this is what he said here.
So many edits. And there's so many.
I think
that's
a little snippet of it would be nice. You see what I'm saying?
Okay, I'll put it right here.
I'm usually homeboys with the same things I'm rhyming with. But this is hip hop, and I'm the shit and know what time it is. And that goes for Jermaine Cole, Big Crit, Wale, Pusha T, Meek Mills, A$AP Rocky, Drake, Big Sean, J Electron, Tyler McMillan. I got love for you all, but I'm trying to murder you.
Okay.
Okay,
thank
so
you.
That's him on control. And then, yeah, so they've been back and forth. Always little subtle sneak disses, shots. Anytime you hear about them talking about a rapper they're better than, it's pretty much always implied Kendrick's talking about Drake. Drake's talking about Kendrick. It's been this cold war for the last, like, 13 years.
Cold war. I like that. And then March hits, and like boom.
At that cold war, you should have a drop of Gorbachev and Reagan.
Yeah.
So in October of last year, Drake puts out a song with J. Cole. And J. Cole says, love when they hardest the MCs. Is it K-Dot, Aubrey, or me? We the big three. Kind of, you know, saying him, Drake, and Kendrick are the best three rappers.
Okay.
So then Future and Metro Boomin, who are frequent Drake collaborators, put out a new album, and Kendrick's on it and says, F your big three, it's just Big Me.
And that was shots fired, Laszlo. Mm-hmm.
There was
shots
other
fired.
Things in that, but yeah, that's shots fired, right?
Yep.
So then 2 weeks later,
J. Cole must have been pissed.
Yeah, J. Cole, I think, was regretted it.
Oh, right? So J. Cole, a few days later, puts out a song called 7 Minute Drill, which is a whole Kendrick diss track. Mm. 2 days after he releases it, he's at a show at his festival in Dreamville and says,
where's Dreamville?
You have to believe that it's there.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's only there in your imagination.
But he says,
sounds like somewhere in South Carolina.
He said, it's the lamest thing I've ever done. I have nothing but love for Kendrick.
He, like, apologizes.
And he deletes that song. He takes it off streaming services. Says, I delete this. You know, I want nothing to do with it.
Shouldn't
this.
Have dissed him. I don't want this war.
Right.
Okay, so J. Cole, like, says, I'm out.
Yeah, I'm out. It's like firing a nuke, and and Rush is like, what the? You're like, yeah, never mind.
So then Drake puts out a song called Push Ups, which is a Kendrick diss. Before Kendrick can respond, Drake puts out That was April 19th was Push Ups.
Oh, but I thought that, okay. So I've got my dates.
What
so
does he say in
only
push-ups?
Been a month.
You're short, and you're
there's been a lot of talk about his size. He says he's short. He says he wears a size 7 shoe. He says when you beat your wife, is it self-defense because she's bigger than you? A lot of stuff about his size, which made me very curious. How big is Kendrick Lamar? And I've done some research now, and I have a pretty good idea.
He's a little guy?
He's 5'5" or 5'6", you know, like, and he wears a size 8.5, not a size 7.
Seems like not something you would get so mad about. It's trying to make fun of your size. I mean, I get it. As a short guy, I understand that you're coming at me. But also, like, you know, can I have another shot? I don't know. We just saw 2 hours of it as people called Rob Gronkowski, so he took bigger than Kevin Hart.
Whoa. And this
you
is
can
a,
say the S
this,
word.
This is a rap battle anyway, so where'd you
oh, here you go. Sorry. It just seems like of all the things you could hit me for, my height.
But the height stuff.
My height wouldn't bother me, I guess, but
I don't know if it bothers him, but it has been very funny to me. Just because he keeps doing it.
Okay, so 5 days later, no response from Kendrick yet. Drake puts out another one called Taylor Made Freestyle, where he accuses Kendrick of not putting out a diss song because Taylor Swift just dropped her album. He doesn't want to step on her toes. That's the gist of that song, right?
Okay.
And that's by that time now, a lot of people are starting to talk about this, right?
Yes.
I feel like that song, like, as soon as it comes out, you're like,
Drake's
he put out another one.
Kendrick has not put out anything out.
Yeah.
That was April 24th. Finally, on April 30th, Kendrick responds with a song called Euphoria, which is like 7 minutes long. It's three different beats, three different kind of.
Who did that?
That's Kendrick. So that's responding to Drake. A few days later, on the 3rd, Kendrick puts out
what are you saying that?
Slim,
so, he said.
Out.
He said. I think was that one the one where he talked about the Euphoria stuff. Does that start then? Is he talking about him being a pedophile yet?
Let me read what this article says. No, that's not the pedophile stuff. He doesn't do any of that yet.
Okay,
basically, you don't raise your son. You know, I'm.
He's got
respond,
kids. That's what it was. You've
but
got,
I got
kids
a son
that you don't
to raise.
About.
And you don't even know about that.
You've got kids waiting for dad to come home.
No, nope, not that.
That's
one.
A different song.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened?
Songs.
Now you guys are confusing me. So let me go back here.
They're
Drake
just going
makes.
Back and forth.
We're just
going
to go back to here. Drake makes TaylorMade, which is making fun of Kendrick because Kendrick didn't want to put out a song because Taylor Swift just put out her album.
Right.
And he said he didn't want to step on her toes or that no one would listen to it because Taylor Swift just got a new record.
I think either or.
Right.
But basically that Taylor, you know, told you you can't release that.
I see. Taylor made the decision.
Yeah. And says, like, he's giving the shout out to her, saying she's, you know, the biggest
gangster. Now Drake has done, too. He's done push-ups saying you're super small and your push-ups are easy because your arms are short.
Yep.
So you have to count each of them as two. Right?
Correct.
And then no one responds to that because they're like, making fun of short people is so Kevin Hart. And then Drake says, fine, you don't want to do that, then I'll put out another record, and that's called You're Taylor Swift's Bitch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then Kendrick Lamar says, nope, I'm going to put out one called Euphoria, where I talk about a TV show on HBO.
Euphoria was his response about?
Drake is producer of the TV show Euphoria, but he doesn't say anything about the pedophile.
He doesn't say anything about the TV show.
No, but it's a shot at Drake for being a producer of that show.
Of the show that hypersexualizes kids.
That's what I'm saying, right? So that's why he calls it that, right?
Okay. Yes.
Okay. See, I didn't even know that, but it was obvious. Like, this is where we're going to go with this, right? We're going to go with that.
And then before Drake can respond, Kendrick pulls the Drake and puts out a second one.
So he doubles down now and says,
he doubles down and does 616 in L.A.
Which, that's a shot at Drake because all of his albums are like, you know.
He has a timestamp series where some of the songs are like 240
in New York. 240
in New York
and
like a
445 in Kansas City.
So this is 616 in the morning or 616 at night?
Who knows?
Or 6 minutes and 16 seconds.
616, the date is Father's Day.
Oh.
So it's another diss about him not being a good dad.
Okay, so he said...
I didn't know that.
Jack Antonoff, who we know is Taylor's record producer, produced some of that song.
Oh, really?
Produced some of it for Kendrick Lamar.
For Kendrick Lamar.
I didn't know that was a Father's Day reference.
Yeah, 616.
See, I'm learning something here. Okay, but that is a... That's a I guess, is it a shot at Drake? Drake did a bunch of stuff that was stamped like that, so that's why
Kendrick did it. The timestamp series.
Yeah. Wait, Kendrick Lamar put out Euphoria.
Yeah.
And then he put out 616 in LA.
He did two in a row like Drake had done.
Right, and the 616 is You're a Bad Dad?
It's Father's Day reference, which he had said, like, basically, you don't know nothing about raising your kids because you're not around to do it.
He said, didn't he say, like, you have two kids that,
that's coming up.
You never see?
That's coming up.
Then Drake puts out Family Matters?
Yes.
So this is, so there was Friday the 3rd, Kendrick puts out 616 LA.
Okay.
Later that day, Drake puts out Family Matters.
Mm-hmm.
An hour after Drake releases Family Matters, Kendrick puts another one out. So that's two within like 24 hours. And
well, what does Family Matters say?
Family Matters is like, it's a 7-minute song, 3-beat switch is like Euphoria. And a lot, he's going after everyone else too, not just Kendrick. He's going after The Weeknd and Future and Metro and ASAP Rocky and Rick Ross because they're all jumping in on it now. And it's just kind of.
You all suck.
It's a lot of like
you
beat your wife. Your wife cheated on you. Your baby's not actually yours. It's Dave Freeze, who is your
GM. Wasn't this the one where he had the line about, like, you know, you're a. He made fun of his wife for being light-skinned, right? Was that
song?
Yeah,
he says, you know, you're so pro-black, but you marry a mixed queen.
Yeah, and then said something about, what was the follow-up to that? Something about her being light-skinned and maybe his kid being light-skinned? Is that what it was? There was something.
Yeah, he says that.
I guess he says, so you hit your, when you hit your wife, you're hitting this light-skinned woman or something like that.
Yeah, is that in Family Matters?
I think so.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's where he says Dave Free, who is the GM of Kendrick's company, is the father of your child. Okay, and so then an hour after
that, Were there allegations that Kendrick beat his wife?
I'd never heard it.
Okay, I've never
he
heard any
of these
stereotypes.
He says they hired a crisis management team to cover it up, so that's another accusation.
Well, Laszlo's crisis management. Maybe Laszlo knows a thing or two.
Well, no, not...
He doesn't know anything about it.
I'm telling you, whoever his crisis management team is great, because the only person who ever talked about it apparently is this, because I've never heard about it.
Right, me neither.
So, like, hey, there's crisis. They squashed it. Whatever that was, they got rid of it.
Sounds like they did a good job.
If that's true, then they did a really good job.
So, yeah, Kendrick puts out Meet the Grams.
Which had to have been ready, right?
It was an hour after he put out Family Matters. So
there's something in between there.
Yeah, he talked about Family
Drake
Matters.
Drake parody, Instagram only.
There's a 30-second Instagram clip that Drake put on there that, it's not like a full song. It's like 30 seconds of a song that I guess is a diss. But I've only listened to it a few times.
Only a few times on that one.
Kendrick Lamar put out.
Like, I've only listened to it a few times. I thought you might actually say, but I haven't actually listened to that one. You said, I've only listened to that one a few times.
But then Kendrick Lamar put out Meet the Grams.
Meet the Grams.
Meet the Grams.
And that's the one he put
Family
an
Matters.
Hour after Family Matters. So Drake puts out Family Matters. It's going
to
be this big diss track, and Kendrick comes and kind of rains on the parade and puts out his own again. And that's a letter to his son, Drake's son Adonis, to his mom and dad. And that's where he says, dear baby girl, and he claims that Drake has another secret love child that's an 11-year-old girl.
Oh, okay. Well, that was that. So that was what, Friday afternoon?
That'd be like Friday night. Yeah.
Okay.
So, and then that's the end of it?
So oh, I, no. heard, I probably didn't hear it
no.
until Saturday.
So then on Saturday, Kendrick puts out another one called Not Like Us. And this is like a West Coast banger. Mustard did the beat for it. And it's talking about, that's where you get into the pedophile accusations. That's
wait,
you
who called who a pedophile?
They've been calling Drake a pedophile.
Kendrick's calling Drake like a pedophile. And that you have pedophiles on your team. And the cover art for that song is Drake's mansion from the top, and it's got the little sex offender dots all over it.
All over it. It looks like this. It's just got little
oh, I did see that. Yeah,
dots.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Which, the thing about Drake being into underage girls, that's that rumor has been around a long
time.
Right,
sure.
So now we get to the most recent one, which was last night. Drake put out The Heart Part 6, which kind of sounds like this is his last song he's going to do. And it says, basically, I won the battle. And he's kind of defending all the accusations of, if I was a pedophile, I would have been caught. I'm too famous not to get caught. It's people kind of think it's
the weird thing about the song that he put out was he says the thing about something about Millie Bobby Brown. I only F with Whitney's, not Millie Bobby Brown's, or something like that. And it's like, why would you bring up Millie Bobby Brown? Don't bring up Millie Bobby
Who?
Brown. Drake. Don't bring that up. Because you've already got pictures of her with you. There'd been this stuff about where you texting Millie Bobby Brown. She had come out in the past and said, oh, he was just being nice
and
to me.
And his whole thing was like, I would have been caught. You know, like, I'm too famous. I would have been caught. And he talks about a song Kendrick had that's called Mother, I Sober, which he says, this is the one where you claim to be molested, but he didn't. He had the whole message wrong. He mixed up metaphors.
It's just weird that you wouldn't bring it. Don't
Wait,
bring
so
up
this is Drake? Brown.
Yeah.
The last song you
this
put
is
out
last night. Yeah,
and it's not any good. Or
it's just
I thought it was good, but the internet just seems to agree that it's like it's over. That song in and of itself was embarrassing enough for Drake that Kendrick doesn't need to respond anymore. And then Drake kind of buried himself.
He brings up Millie Bobby Brown on his own, and then he says like, "I would never look at a teenager." When he put this song out all week into this video multiple videos,
kissing
going
a 17-year-old
on stage. And I mean, like, making out with her, basically, right? And
she said, I'm 17.
It's not like he didn't know. She says it. Now, has the video been manipulated? I doubt it. I mean, she says she's 17.
And there's been a lot of allegations.
So when that video is already making the rounds, and we've already had these allegations, I would not talk about Millie Bobby Brown, and I would not say I never looked twice at no teenager. When we know you have, because there's
right.
video
there's
going
literally
around.
Video of it.
Yeah, and not to mention just like the underage celebrities that you've approached and asked for their phone numbers, which has made headlines in the past.
So that's the most recent thing. And like I said, internet consensus from what I've seen on Twitter and Reddit is that Kendrick won.
Who has
and that Drake
more
lost.
Views on these on YouTube
that I
and
don't
streams?
Know.
I was waiting for someone to do some sort of account.
I would guess probably Drake, but I don't know.
That's kind
of
what I was guessing,
too. But they're accusing
each
other of hiring view or paying for views and paying for bots. And so.
Well, you did that pretty fast. I don't know if it's as fast as this lady did on the news. Because
welcome back to ABC News Live First. It's the rap beef that keeps going back to back. Drake and Kendrick Lamar are trending after taking aim at one another over the weekend in 5 different songs, one of them dropping overnight. Your fans
are rejoicing. She's got a clip.
See how that it would have been done well. The jokes and the
medication, the I had to put that in there, actually.
No, you didn't. Yes,
and Drake's latest record, The Heart Part 6, already has 8 million plays on YouTube and is a direct response to Kendrick's Not Like Us song.
Okay, so there you go. But that only gives you the most recent.
Yeah, those are the two most recent songs. I gave you everything.
I know you did. You did good. So now anybody who has a friend who's bringing up the Drake-Kendrick battle or it comes up at dinner, if you got, I mean, for me, it was a 13-year-old who kept talking about it
so
this weekend.
So you should be caught up now.
You should know, and you should have picked a side by now. Whose side are you on? Who do you think won? Whose songs would you see yourself listening to in the future longer?
I think Drake's has a lot of replay value. Someone said a really good point is that Kendrick made Drake step up his rap game because he's rapping great, and Drake made Kendrick step up his release game because he takes so long to releases, and this weekend he put out like 5 new songs. So
yeah.
I think just
everyone
hip-hop
wins
fans
in this.
Are winning, you know,
everyone
in general.
Wins. Best battle since Machine Gun Kelly and Eminem, I would say.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know when there was the last great battle.
Pusha T and Drake, probably.
Okay, yeah, Drake.
That's one song
Drake
each,
is
though.
So famous. But,
that
Pusha
T
big,
song
but that
was like
big.
Probably the biggest diss track ever.
But this is just
it made him take responsibility for his son.
The number of songs, though, going back and forth
because
like
of
this.
That song.
Yeah. The number of songs going back and forth here, though, and getting millions of views within hours, I don't remember anything like this really before.
Nope.
do
but
you?
Now you're all caught up, and that is it for the show. We're out of time.
Oh, we're out of time. Drake to play us out or Kendrick to play us out?
Mm, you pick. No, I have no idea.
Okay, I'll pick.
Psst. I see dead people.
Hey, Mustard on the beat. Deep, open, rap.